Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. I feel like we have to pause at the beginning of the episode to let everybody know. Today is Thursday. It is the 17th of September. I think I can't quite see the calendar through all the smoke here in Oregon, but we'll take a shot at it. I'm pretty sure yesterday was the 16th, so here we go. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here.
Glad to have you with me. Also today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having us.
Glad you're here. Now, we had some big news yesterday. Brian's going to go address his air leak. And we had some news yesterday, which is that iOS 14 is now officially released, which means Andrew gets to take a victory lap right about now.
You know, the voices in my head have stopped making fun of me for living on the danger mode of the betas, and now I'm stable once again.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but
for,
at least
for the time being.
Yeah, but at least you're not making a conscious decision to be on hard mode anymore by running the betas of everything. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect in iOS 14. Like, what's the first thing that you notice once you switch over from 13?
So definitely there are two, well, I should say maybe one main thing that you'll notice, and that is there are some big changes to the home screen. So the two major features of the home screen are there are more options available for widgets. Before iOS 14, there was this area where you like swipe right and then you would just have a list of widgets that apps, some apps would make available. There were some system widgets and you can just have a list confined to that area.
Yeah, well, which is a pretty nifty area. Even in 13, by the way, as a mere mortal still running the old operating system, you can have your next calendar appointment. You can have maps show up there, you know, and it'll automatically show you your next destination or whatever Siri figures out based on time of day. You can there's a battery one. So if you have AirPods or an Apple Watch, you can check your battery levels there for all your stuff. And some of those are pretty handy if you take a minute and configure them. That screen can be really useful, but now you don't have to swipe right anymore.
Yeah, so even though they were confined to that area, it was still useful. But now they can be maybe a bit more useful, at least now they're at the top of your mind, because you can move widgets anywhere you want on the actual home screen. And there are different widget sizes. Like there is one that's like a 2x2, so it looks like a square. And then there is a 2x4, and then I think a giant 4x4. So it just depends on, I think all apps have to offer at least one widget of each size, but then there are some apps that go crazy. I think I saw news today where Carrot Weather had 25 widgets.
This does not surprise me in the least.
So they're very helpful, and like our Android brethren have been able to do, now you can have more freedom and, you know, place them in between your apps, or you can be like me, where maybe you can keep the apps confined to our next feature and just have widgets on the home screen. And that next feature is if you swipe to the left or to the end of however many home pages you have, there is a new thing also from Android, as some of us like to point out. It's called the app library. So all your apps are automatically categorized into their app store categories. And when you tap the search bar, you'll see all the apps in alphabetical order.
Interesting. Okay.
And you can also, so you can edit your home screens. So if you long press on the screen and tap the two dots at the bottom, you can go into the home screen edit mode, I guess it's called. And you can, like, maybe you want to make it so that you only have one home screen, so it's just your home screen and then swipe to the app library, or you can continue to have as many as you want. Just have, you know, maybe two or three pages just filled with widgets if you want.
Okay. And I believe Federighi referred to that as jiggle mode. Do we still have jiggle mode in iOS 14?
There is still jiggle mode.
Okay. So, just to be clear. So, all right. just checking on that. So, Brian, are you updated anywhere? Because I don't think you were running a beta.
I was not running a beta. Okay. Still recovering from writing the last Dummies book.
Yeah. So then your upgrade was much more recent. What did you notice when you switched?
Well, the biggest thing I noticed is that Top Stories doesn't seem to update.
Oh.
I use that widget quite a bit and doesn't really seem to update as much. So that's pretty cool.
And that's just the plain Apple News Top Stories widget, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the better look and feel of stuff is the biggest thing I've noticed. Andrew actually ran through some of my tips, so that's kind of cool.
Whoops.
That's okay. You did a better job of explaining it than I would have. I am enamored with the idea of having widgets on my home screen. I just haven't actually set those up yet, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
Makes sense. Now, this is, I don't have a good way to phrase this question, but if I don't want any widgets on my home screen, is there a thing I have to turn off, or do I just not put any there and then I don't have any? Because I think there are people who want to make sure they're up to the current thing, but have zero interest in doing any of this. So do you just not put those and then you're done?
Yeah, adding widgets is completely up to you. Okay. I'm kind of doing a mixture where I, you know, as we've mentioned on the show, I'm all about the shortcuts. And so I have a couple of shortcuts widgets on my main home screen. And then I have, you know, back to swiping right to get to the old widget screen. That is where I have the rest of them. So I kind of like having a more minimal setup.
Yeah. Okay. So I think in some cases shortcuts might be good. I am one of those Carrot Weather users. So when I get upgraded, I'm probably going to end up with a Carrot Weather widget, even though I'm not going to say it again because I only ever open it to see what the weather is. Like, that's the whole reason I have the widget. I have the app installed so I can take a look at it, or, you know, if I don't see it on my watch. So that's definitely one of the ones I'm interested in using. I will probably end up, much like you, with some shortcuts, particularly for HomeKit automated things, being able to turn on and off the office lights, for example, where I come and go all the time, might be handy to have on my home screen. So that might be a good one. I haven't quite decided yet. And I'm also a little bit superstitious, so I want to wait for everybody to install the actual shipping version before. And find out what's completely broken so that I can kind of weigh my options, because if it turns out there's something that doesn't work anymore, then I want to make sure I'm aware of that, you know, before it happens to me, I guess. So I've had to wade through brick devices and things before, so I kind of don't want to have to do that if I don't have to.
Lightweight.
No, it's because I spend so much of my life troubleshooting everything for other people, I have very little patience for doing it for myself. It's really not any more complicated than that. Like, I have, like, 100% of my troubleshooting is all now allocated to other people. So if I don't spend, if I spend more than about 10 seconds, I just get mad and quit for myself. So I don't have the capacity for it anymore. So if you've had any noticeable differences in shortcuts, or not in shortcuts, in widgets, if there are things that you've discovered that look very cool, one of the things that we talked about just this morning in the towers, in the TMO towers, was that discoverability of different features in iOS sometimes is a little bit harder than we'd like it to be. So if there's something really cool that you found in iOS 14, or something cool you found in 13 that nobody seems to know about, please let us know, because we always like featuring stuff like that on the show. And you can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. So we definitely want to talk about it. Honestly, I ended up being very busy yesterday and my schedule was pretty full, so I didn't get a chance to install iOS 14, but I'm going to, and I'm going to put it on my iPad today for sure, because it's okay if my iPad maybe has a hitch or two when I'm trying to upgrade it. But for my daily driver phone, I can't do that. So we'll see about it on iOS devices, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. And Andrew, what's your favorite feature of iOS 14?
Oh man, now that's difficult to answer. Well, I guess just because this is the first thing that came to mind, going back to shortcuts. So before iOS 14, there were shortcuts and then automations. Automations, uh-huh. They would run kind of by themselves, but then not really, because they would send you a notification that you would have to tap on to run. Well, now with iOS 14, certain automations, not all of them, it just depends on what you want to do, but certain automations, you can have it totally run by itself in the background. There's like this toggle that you press, you know, just turn that off, and then it'll just run by itself. And I think that's awesome.
Excellent.
I'm
looking forward to that. So I don't have very many shortcuts set up right now, so, or automations for that matter. So being able to build those out and not have to tap on something in order for them to continue is going to be pretty great, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian, do you have a lot of automation set up?
I have some automation set up, but they've been sitting there from when I first moved in and set everything up. So I haven't done a lot of new stuff, and I'm hoping that iOS 14 is going to have some suggestions for me.
Yeah, and suggestions are one thing that I think that came with 13, right? That machine learning would sort of understand. And I think there's a widget for this, maybe. Andrew, please correct me if I'm wrong. Where, like, if you have the same mobile order at Starbucks every morning or whatever, that after you do that for a while, your phone sort of knows, like, do you want to go order that order at Starbucks now before you leave the house? You know, and then it'll prompt you for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Proactive's been around, and it's something that Google Now still beats Apple's Proactive, but Proactive is definitely getting better. And I've also noticed that it's getting better for, like, location-based app suggestions.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, when I go over to my buddy's house to check in on it while he's out of town, the Ring app now shows up.
Oh, nice. Because
I always, you know, access the Ring app to turn off his alarm. And at Whole Foods, my Whole Foods app comes up so I can check in.
That's handy.
Like that. And yeah, it Proactive seems to be getting better, but Google Now still leads this particular area of the market, and I really want Apple to get to the point where it can kick Google's butt in this particular area.
That'd be great. Yeah, for sure.
And so, you will absolutely get suggestions on, like, you know, directions home or directions to this place that you've been going to at the same time every day.
Okay.
You'll get stuff like that. And I also I don't really know how useful this is. I've yet to use it, but the people, the person that I text with the most, I'll have a, like, send this person a text message suggestion, because, you know, it's been 42 minutes since you've texted, so maybe you want to text.
Yeah, that I like that. I do like the suggestions for texting and things, because there's certain people I text at certain times of day, like around lunchtime or you know, like later in the afternoon, evening, as the text chain starts between Mr. Kelly and I about what we're going to do for dinner. My phone has kind of figured out, you know, about 5 o'clock, like, yeah, you're going to, you have a text to send to somebody, don't you? It doesn't
just
yet.
Phil, I don't know. What do you want to do?
It should. I wish it could just sort of, that's an automation I need, Andrew. A shortcut that fires off at like 5:15 every night. What do you want to do for dinner?
I could totally build you that.
I, I like the idea of it. I think in practice, I would just end up in a lot more trouble than I normally am in. So I don't know if I want to go that far. I'm looking forward to widgets and automations. Not to get too far into the home stuff, but I've recently set up a Raspberry Pi with Homebridge so that I can do things like tell my watch to open the garage door, which I think is fantastic. Because it works way more reliably than the actual app I have that's supposed to open and close the garage door. So I very much prefer doing it this way. And there's a few other things that I want to build some automation around. And so I'm looking forward to having some expanded opportunities with that. And as that happens, I'm sure we'll talk about it. And Andrew will definitely be back more to talk about shortcuts and other things. As we dig into those, because we definitely want to get more into shortcuts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And even though I don't have it installed yet, I know another place that we've seen a number of changes is messages. They didn't change the thing that irks me about messages the most, but they did do some other things where you can pin a conversation, like a group chat or a particular person, at the top of your messages list. So that one's always accessible regardless of who else you've been texting with throughout the day. And there's threading, I believe, in messages. And you can just at somebody and then you get a notification for it specifically in like a group chat. If you're in with a bunch of people, maybe you kind of don't pay attention to it or you don't have the alerts turned on for that particular message thread. And then you'll get notified if somebody actually tags you in that thread. So that's going to be, I think that's going to help messages a lot. I wish they'd get rid of the speech balloons. That's the thing that irks me. But apparently it's never going away. And I just think it's a whole bunch of wasted space that, you know, like I could be used for actual messaging. And apparently I'm like the only person who thinks that because it's never going away. So that's what I've got. Brian, you will be back on the show to talk to us about Iggy's favorite apps, right?
Sure.
I'm sure he has some, right?
He's been looking for an app that will, you know, give him snacks. But
BarkBox.
He hasn't found it yet.
Well, I'm not sure if he will, honestly, but I don't have the heart to break it to him. So
I let him, you know, it's good for his reading skills to look for him.
Yeah, that's so true.
I'll let him have at it.
Yeah. I guess it's a good thing that it's not like he can get into Fortnite now. So, you know. Yeah. So we'll see. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. We've talked a little bit about iOS 14. If you have favorite features or iPadOS 14, if you have favorite features that you want to point out or if you have questions about things that you've been looking at, there will be more coverage as we dig into everything over at MacObserver.com. We will also have videos about some of the stuff that stands out to us. And that's going to do it for today. So, Andrew, no longer lunatic or, thanks so much for coming by.
Yes, thank you for having me in my stable mode.
Stable mode, yes. Brian Chaffin, thanks as always for being here.
Yep, thanks for having us. Good to be here.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.